We have a lot of Native American names around our area, like Schenectady and Canajoharie and places like that. But I did not see any Native Americans living in this area. So that sparked my curiosity about the natives, about the indigenous people in here. And so I decided not to do it at the time because it required a lot of money and a lot of time and organizational skills. But once I received word that I got a grant from the Steve McKee Foundation, I sort of like got back on track and started to work on this. So I've been working on this for the last few months and it's almost ready.
So in the draft that I viewed, you began the story with the Haudenosaunee origin story. Why did you choose to start there?
I chose to start there because the Haudenosaunee creation story is very important in their culture. It's different from what we experience. And at the end of the creation story is a message that we are sometimes lacking communication skills. And that's what's bringing into the main part of the documentary, which is the Revolutionary War period.
And during that period, and what you've outlined in the documentary is how the Six Nations took sides and actually were very involved in the Revolutionary War, and that actually led to a fragmentation of the Iroquois Nation.
The strain on the Iroquois Confederacy began with a British plan of invading New York from Canada with the goal of splitting the colonies in half. With General John Burgoyne heading south for Montreal and another British force under Brevet Brigadier General Barry St. Ledger heading east from Forts Oswego and Niagara, it became essential to secure full military support from the Iroquois.
Yes, that's my vision for this documentary. The fact that the Iroquois Confederacy was united until the coming of the Europeans and their wars for fur and trade in the area. And eventually, the Revolutionary War split the Six Nations apart. And the Covenant Chain, which was the symbol of connection between the Six Nations and the Crown, was broken at that time by Oneida and Tuscarora siding with the Patriots. And that happens a lot. I mean, today, I mean, people are split sometimes, or split between party line, or split in other ideas. And back then, they were split as well. So that's my idea about that.
And you also outlined in the documentary how General George Washington actually ordered that Iroquois lands not only be overrun, but destroyed. And details like that are not taught to, at least when I was a kid, not taught in your public school American history courses when you're learning about the Revolutionary War or settlers in our region.
Yeah, the fact is, we all hear of Bunker Hill, Saratoga, Yorktown, the big battles between Patriots and the British. And we don't hear about the Haudenosaunee's part in the Revolutionary War period, or we at least glance over it without really looking at it. And in this area, in this region, it played an important part in our dealings with natives. And may I use, when we settled the western part, the interior of the country, it goes further back. I mean, it's like a precursor to what we've done to the indigenous peoples in the Plains Indians and stuff like that. And I thought that was something that was part of the grant. The grant required that I tell something about racism in the Capital District. And we think about African Americans and racism, but there are also racism in other cultures and other in other contexts as well. And I want to highlight this part as well. So that's my main idea.
You went to the Mohawk Nation territory and you spoke with individuals who were involved in a school there. One of the speakers at the school says that she was actually punished for speaking indigenous language when she was when she was growing up, when she was a child?
Here, I mean, we had nuns teaching us when I went to school, and they were abusive, and they punished our people for speaking their language. You know, when somebody asked me what my vision for the future is yesterday, and I was like, I want to end racism, but I don't know, is that possible?
And I think that the message of the people at the school was, we're still here, dedicated to teaching about the history of Native peoples and also carrying on traditions today. Did you learn anything when you went to that school that you hadn't been aware of?
Yes, that was a big part of this film, is going up to Akwesasne, Mohawk territory up near Messina. I learned a lot about how they're preserving their language and their culture. And the fact that one of the part of the movie is we are still here is, of course, they are still here with us today. They haven't gone away. They haven't vanished. And they're learning their own languages. And a lot of people, I guess I think, in my opinion, a lot of people forget about indigenous people, but they are still here. And that's one of the major points in this movie, I think, is that they are still here with us.
I read in the newspaper a little while ago that you were planning a docudrama set at the Mabee Farm Historic Site in Schenectady County, which is featured a little bit in the documentary. So what are your future plans for this project and telling the story of the Native peoples during the Revolutionary War?
Oh, absolutely. I am actually in communication with the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, and they're allowing me to come with my crew to film a living history reenactment at Herkimer Home on Father's Day weekend. And that's part of the background of a segment in the film called Cherry Valley Massacre. And I want to film the British and the Patriots and some indigenous people actually coming into conflict with each other. And that's going to be part of the background of the whole documentary.